That earlier this week, I was at the mission and I heard Robert Morris. He was teaching something that I felt very thought would be very important to share with y'all this morning, considering what we're going to be discussing, particularly the fact that it is Mother's Day. And he started with by sharing this verse of scripture from the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Amen. Brother Rob, would you ask the blessing upon this word this morning, please, brother? So they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and you know, the word moved in the Greek is after three words is actually what this means, we're moved by, and the word is phado, or phedio. It means to be driven. They were driven by the Holy Spirit, and you know, really what it's talking about is talking about the inspiration that comes from the Spirit of God was upon them. The word inspiration is connected with the word inspire, correct? And that means to, you know, to actually means to inhale, to take something in. Just as expire means just the opposite, to breathe out. And again, we use that terminology when someone passes away, they breathe their last, they've expired, right? So, the Holy Spirit breathed into them. You know, and God breathes into us life by His Word. His words are life, and they are spirit. He breathes life into us, you see. Remember when God first created man, He says He breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul, right? And then, of course, man was separated from God, you know, and so what we need is we need to be born again and have that life breathed back into us. And we need to continually have that life breathed into us because He is our life. You follow what I'm saying here? Now, Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." Now, the point is, this word, this Bible here, is the breath of God. All right? It breathes life into everyone and into everything that it, well, actually, whatever takes it in, whoever inhales it, you might say, is inspired by it. So, this word has all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. And so, wives, if you want to understand your husbands, consult the owner's manual. And husbands, if you want to understand your wives, you need to consult the book also. And so, since we are using this today as the starting point for this Mother's Day message, mothers, if you want guidance on how to raise up godly children, consult the Bible. There are several examples of women who understood the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And they acted and they moved as the Spirit of God came upon them. And so I just wanted to share a few of these ladies with you as examples because I think that it's so important to look at these examples because, like I said, this is the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And you'll find in it everything that pertains to life and godliness. So I want to start with Moses' mother. She represents the priestly mother, you might say. She was facing a terrible situation. And you know, we got all mothers throughout history have faced difficult times as well. But Moses' mother, I believe, she serves as an example of faith to everybody, even those who've gone through difficult times throughout all history. And again, this was the situation, Exodus chapter 1, if you'll turn there with me, and verse 15 through 22. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for your Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, My scripture didn't print out correctly. She shall save them on the birth stools. If it's a son, then you shall kill him. If it's a daughter, then you shall live. Yeah, it's a misprint, sorry. But if the midwives feared God and did not do the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. And so the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you not done this? Why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. And so Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born to you, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Now, mothers, I know that there are some here today who are going through very difficult times, different circumstances concerning your children. And I just want to let you know today that it is not hopeless. If ever there was a woman who could say that it seemed hopeless, it was Moses' mother, but she didn't. She held on to hope, and she committed her child to God. In the next verses, we see that a little faith went a long ways. And I want to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 23. And this is called the faith chapter. And this is included as one of the people of faith. And it says in verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents. So this tells us that Moses wasn't just a little bitty newborn baby when he was put into the river. He was 3 months old. And it says 3 months old by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. Did you hear that? They were not afraid of the king's command. And so by faith, they hid him. But finally, the day came when they could no longer hide him any longer. And so this is what happened in Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. And the man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, daughter of Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And the sisters stood afar off to know what would become of him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. Her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. And then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call the nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you? And so Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And so the maiden went and called the child's mother. When Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages. And so the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And so she named his name Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And there's a lot of types and shadows and pictures there that you can even see drew him out of the water. In Scripture, water represents the Word of God at times too. God protects a priestly family. That's the thing we want to first speak about. And this baby was a Levite, which was of the tribe of the priestly tribe, you know, and the Levites were the priestly tribe. And so there is a spiritual application here for us too, because the Bible tells us that Christian families are of a priesthood as well. Did you know that? In 1 Peter 2 and 9 it says, "But you are a chosen priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So godly Christian mothers should pray and intercede for their children, even if they are wayward. And most important is to have faith in God, that he knows how to turn things around. He knows how to make things turn out for the good of those who love the Lord. Look at Moses. It took being separated from the world that he had grown up in and been set apart from, put in a place where he was isolated, where God could speak to him before he would realize the call that he had upon his own life. And this is true with our own children. You know, I heard a story one time by Brother Horton that's always stayed with me. And I remember a story about this young lady who was raised in church. And when she got to be a teenager, she decided that she was going to get heavy into rock and roll music. And she became a real fan of some of the heavy metal bands and what have you. And so she decided she wanted to join her friend and become a groupie of one particular hard metal band. And this band was known for having riotous parties and debauchery after their concerts. These girls wanted to attend this after party. And so what happened? Well, they went to go into the door where the party was, and outside was this lady who was traveled with the band, and she just happened to be a witch. And she was checking out everybody who wanted to get in, and the girl's friend was accepted in immediately. But the witch said to the girl who was raised in the godly home, "You don't belong here. You need to get out." This wicked woman saw that this child was being protected by the prayers of her godly parents. And that eventually this girl came back to her roots, came back to the Lord. So getting back to Moses, did you notice that Moses' mother obeyed the law of Pharaoh? She put her son in the river, right? Not knowing what would happen. And he was placed amongst the reeds of the river. And there's a lot of spiritual meaning behind that, I believe. Did you know that those reeds were papyrus? You know what they did with papyrus? They made books out of them, right? Did you know that Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible? You know, it's really talking about the importance of being put into the Word of God and the bringing that life of the Word of God into a child. And then she sends Miriam to watch over him. And I believe Miriam is a type and a shadow of the Holy Spirit in this particular case. And so not only did Moses' mother get her son back alive because of her faith and committing him into God's hands, but she was paid to nurse him. Paid to nurse him by the very family who wanted to kill him at first. And so his mother and his sister both raised him. And Miriam, she benefited Moses as well because she was a poet, a gifted poet, and a musician. And on this day that we honor mothers, I want to encourage you mothers with the words of Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 through 9. "For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." So the question I ask this morning is, what are you sowing into your children's life? What are you sowing into your grandchildren's life? Are you breathing God's word into them? Remember, his words are spirit, and they are life. Moses' mother was the strongest human influence in his life. Even though she didn't keep him that long, she made the most of the time that she had with him. And he was able to fulfill his call because he had a mother that didn't give up on him. Did you know by the time that a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some 18,000 extra hours of child-generated work? In fact, women who never have children enjoy an equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. That's the truth. We don't really think about that, do we? So her story of a young father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his four-year-old daughter. He got the wedding album out, thinking visual images would help, and explained the entire wedding service to her. When he had finished, he asked if she had any questions, and she pointed to the picture of the wedding party and asked, "Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us?" You see, I share that with you because I know that you ladies, what you do out of love for the most part. But my point is, you do seem to have a lot of time on your hands to really influence your children, right? I mean, in reality, once your children are grown, you always hear people say, "Are these kids ever going to get grown?" You know, but they never say once they're grown, "Are they ever going to get grown?" They always say, "Where did the time go? Where did the time go?" So my advice to you is what Paul recommended for every believer to do. Redeem the time. Make the most of every opportunity. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "See that you walk circumspectly." In other words, be aware of what's going on around you, 360 degrees. That's with a mother, you know. Usually, you know, you pray with one eye open, you sleep with one eye open, you know, because you never know what kids are going to be getting into. But it says we need to be not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that's one of the things that you have to know and understand is that we live in an evil world. And there are things out to get your children. There are things out to get you. And so you have to redeem the time. And part of the redeeming the time is not only teaching your children the ways of God, but spending time in prayer and asking God for his protection. So he goes on to say, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's the will of the Lord for you. And part of redeeming the time is knowing how to, again, to disciple your children. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home yourself, but you're in church now and you've come to the Lord and you need to learn how to teach them and train them up. It's a responsibility that God's given us all, but in particular mothers. So that brings us to right now to an example in the New Testament with Lois and Eunice. I was commenting to somebody earlier, when I hear that name Eunice, I'm always reminded of Carol Burnett with Eunice and Mama, you know. But that's not what it's talking about here. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded it is in you also." See, children, they need to be mentored. They need to be mentored and taught what's really important. And you know what is really important is God. Knowing him in a real and personal way. I heard someone once say, "Mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase." I thank God for my mother, that even though I went astray, her example spoke volumes, and what she shared with me stayed with me. So mothers really are disciple makers, and they have an opportunity to hand down their faith about God, and they have a unique ability to demonstrate God's love and his grace as well. And this was Timothy's testimony of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They were the ones who guided Timothy to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we are young folks, we need an example of a sincere faith. One thing I know about children is though they are easily influenced, I think over time they learn to grow and see whenever people are not sincere. Amen. And too often I've heard parents say that they wanted their children to make up their own minds about religion. You know, they usually say this because they haven't made up their own minds themselves. And so in essence, what they're doing is they're making disciples after their own belief system. And their children are going to believe like them unless someone comes along who is a godly influence in their life and there's an intervention. It can be a grandparent, it can be an aunt or uncle, or it can be even a close friend like Paul was. Timothy not only had the blessing of a godly grandmother and mother, but again, this close friend, Paul, who was a great mentor to him. This Paul, who was a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, and a mentor to many other people, he's writing to Timothy, and he calls him one of his closest friends. But Paul's writing to Timothy to encourage him in his faith because Timothy was alone dealing with a rough church in the town of Ephesus. He'd become a pastor. And Paul writes about his character. And again, character that was instilled by his grandmother and mother. And in this scripture, it tells us something about what Timothy was like. It says in a roundabout way that he was sensitive. In 2 Timothy 1 and 4, it says, "And greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." Folks, I believe sensitivity is a vital part of being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because sensitivity produces compassion, which is what we all need. The world says, well, men don't cry. Jesus wept. He was a man's man. Sowing with tears are a good thing when it comes to interceding for others and for ourselves, petitioning for our own needs. In Psalms 126, verse 5 and 6 says, "Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And he who continually goes forth weeping." Did you hear that? Those who continually go forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And then one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 56 and verse 8 says, "You number my wanderings and put my tears into your bottle, and they are they not in your book?" God keeps track of such things. When was the last time you were in prayer, shedding some tears for your family, for your children? God's attentive to those things. All of this, I believe, was producing a godly character in Timothy and the examples that his mother and grandmother set for him. And because of that, he had a good conscience. Paul spoke about this in 1 Timothy 1, verse 18 through 20. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. I want you to think about that for a moment. There are those who've rejected faith and a good conscience because the way the world handles things seems like the thing to do. It may be popular and the world may be doing it, but it'll be exactly the wrong thing that God wants you to do. There's some things that lead to good success and there's other things that seem right that do not. Remember, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but that's the way that leads to death. Don't reject faith. Don't reject a good conscience. And then he talks about these two people who did so. It says, "Of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So Timothy was proven to be a faithful man of integrity who served God in sincerity. It was a sincere faith. And Paul would write about this in the book of Philippians, when he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 2, verse 19 through 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. In other words, that remember that the fact that he had compassion and he was sincere in his faith. For he goes on to say, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know this, his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served me in the gospel. Now again, though Timothy's mother and grandmother were women of faith, it says nothing about the faith of Timothy's father. Probably because he was a Gentile. Many scholars believe that that's probably why he wasn't a man of faith. But if you're a Christian woman here today, and you have a husband that seems disinterested in the things of God, I think it's important for you to take note of this. Scripture seems to indicate that Timothy's mom was a woman who is like in your shoes, if you're in that state. And again, the same thing holds true if you're a Christian man and you have a wife that seems to be disinterested in the things of God. Point is, Timothy's life was impacted by the faith of one single parent. And Paul knew, he knew that what the kind of an impact and influence that a mother could have upon their children. And so oftentimes, Paul's accused of being a hard man, a mean-spirited man toward women and their role in the Christian ministry. But Paul is not a male chauvinist. He knows and understands that this man, Timothy, who walked beside him for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, was first pointed in the right direction by his mom, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. And so, mothers that are here today, I want you to again take notice, and I think it's important for dads to pay attention too. The faith you long for your children and your grandchildren to have and to grow up into must first be demonstrated in you. And these women demonstrated it. They lived a life of faith, and Timothy saw it. You've got to understand, folks, that it's not the church's role so much to raise up your children in the faith as it is yours. The church gets your child at best 2 hours a week, maybe a little bit more with youth group. You know, I think maybe 4 hours at best. Out of 168 hours per week, they get to come and they get to hear from me, they get to hear from the other teachers for just a fraction of the time that you have with them. So you see, you can have such a wonderful influence in their lives because you spend the vast majority of the time with them. And it is your role to bring them up in the ways of the Lord and the admonition and nurture of the Lord. But it is the church's job to come alongside you and encourage you and strengthen you and help shape them and mold them and steer them in the right direction. It's always important to remember, children become what they see. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17 tells us what caused Timothy to become the man of God he became. And it's because they, his grandmother, his mother, Paul, all of them, breathe life into him with the word of God. It says, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from early childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which were able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's important to give your child roots that will anchor them in the years ahead. At the new Halem National Park Visitor Center, there's a display of a certain pine tree. Next to the example of the tree is a description of that tree. During the first 5 years of the tree's life, the tree grows 1 foot above the ground, just 1 foot. But during those first 5 years of the tree's life, it grows roots 4 feet deep. And these roots will be able to hold that tree in place. The roots will be able to help them to find deep waters in dry times. The roots is what keeps the tree alive. Childhood and growing up, I mean, it's tough. It's tough. We live, like I said, we live in a wicked world. The whole world lies in wickedness. And children can easily get blown off course. And they're easily deceived. That's why it's so important to give them roots, to teach them the truths of the scriptures when they're very young, and continue to do so even when they get older. Encourage them with the Word of God. And they may not like it, you know, but I think it's important to share every and make the most of every opportunity to share scripture with them. Timothy became the man that he was due to the godly influence of his mother and grandmother. And they knew the reality of the fact the scriptures would be what would transform him into the man of God he would become. Again, the main point of sharing all this with you about these women, it's important not to give up on your children. No matter how old they get, don't quit planting the seeds of God's word into their life. And be an example in word and in deed. And don't grow weary in well-doing. Continue to give them that the breath of life. You may have birthed them into this world, and thank God for that. But you need to continue to breathe the life of God's word in them as well. Man's life doesn't consist, you know, on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How important that is. Now, I wanted to share that with you because I think it's important to understand that when you go to church and you hear a Mother's Day message that's really flowery and honors mothers and what have you, I mean, that's fine. It's like eating fast food. It doesn't do you any good. You know? It doesn't stay with you. But when you take in God's word and you encourage and you admonish people with God's word, it's breathing life into them as well. So I want you to know and understand that this morning. I've shared with you from God's word. We breathe God's life into you this morning. And I hope that you have inhaled. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads.